Today's scripture comes from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now a king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." The second reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16b through 18. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. It's the word of God for the people of God. God is still speaking.
The danger of living and acting out of a place of fear is a pretty important theme throughout all of Scripture. Hence the fire truck making my point for me. This theme shows up at the beginning of the story of maybe the most seminal event of the Old Testament, of God delivering the people from slavery in Egypt. And so the book of Exodus, the book that tells this story, begins with the words that Steve read. A new king came to power in Egypt who didn't know Joseph. The Israelites had first come to Egypt in search of food during a famine. And there they reunited with their brother Joseph, who had risen to power as Pharaoh's right-hand man. Joseph had made a name for himself as the one who had saved Egypt from the famine. And for years, the descendants of Joseph, the Israelites, had lived side by side with the Egyptians. Both had flourished, and they lived together in peace. But then a new king, a new Pharaoh, emerged, and the Exodus writer wants us to know two things about this new king. He wants us to know that he had forgotten all that God had done through Joseph, and that he was afraid of how numerous the Israelite people had become. He had forgotten what God had done, and he was afraid of people that he judged to be other. Forgetfulness and fear can be a deadly combination. We might even say, as many have, that the opposite of love is not hate, but rather fear, and that hatred is maybe the most extreme form of fear. Fear, especially fear of those deemed other, can allow us to justify all sorts of things in the name of safety and protection. When we're afraid of someone, then that can lead us to dehumanizing them. And dehumanization can lead to justifying atrocities. For Pharaoh, his fear first led him to enslave the Israelite people, and then ultimately to order the murder of every male baby boy born amongst the Hebrews. Fear and forgetfulness is a deadly combination. Now, as I said, the biblical writers understood the danger of living out of fear very well, perhaps articulated most eloquently in our other scripture this morning from 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And beyond these scriptures themselves, the phrase, "do not be afraid," is written 365 times in the Bible. Now, I don't believe that God was somehow divinely orchestrating to have that phrase in the Bible the exact number of times as the days of the year, but I will say that we could all do a lot worse than to remind ourselves every single day to live out of love and not out of fear, to not be afraid. And I know that's way easier said than done, right? Because frankly, there's a lot of really scary stuff out there. We are scared about the impact of climate change. We are scared about the future of democracy. We are scared about wars all over the world that seem to have no end in sight. We are scared about how much division there seems to be in our country and even in our town. Or our fears might feel a lot closer to home. We are scared about our kids being okay when we know that so many are struggling with things like mental health challenges or cyberbullying. We are scared that we might not be able to have enough money to afford a house or to take care of our family. We are scared that we won't be up to the task of caring for our loved ones, whether they're an aging parent or a grandparent or a young child or a sick relative or anyone in between. And we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? All of these things, so many things that legitimately make us scared. Living out of love and not out of fear does not mean that we live naively. It doesn't mean that we just try to pretend like everything is okay or that things aren't as bad as they sometimes seem. It doesn't mean that we ignore the very real causes, the very real things that make us afraid in our world or in our communities or in our own lives. But I think what it does mean is that when things feel scary, we can choose to live out of the reality of love anyway. I think that sentiment, to choose to live out of the reality of love anyway, is well expressed in a poem that Mother Teresa hung on her wall. And while she wasn't talking about fear specifically, I think the same sentiment applies here. Listen to this poem. "People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, there may be jealousy. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway." I think this is the same sentiment behind the words of the writer of 1 John. Now, the writer of 1 John is not the same person who wrote the Gospel of John, but the letter does come from the same tradition within early Christianity. And the style of the writer's discourse on love is almost the exact same as the style Jesus uses in his farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. Now, this is the discourse that goes on for several chapters. That's sort of the last thing Jesus has to say to his disciples before he is arrested. And in that discourse, Jesus says things like this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And he goes on to say that by your love, by the way you love each other, that's how all people will know that you are my disciples. Now, the writer of 1 John intends for his reader to remember these words of Jesus. The style he chooses is meant to hearken back, to remind his audience, to remind his congregation of the last words, the last things Jesus had to teach them. And in doing so, it's important to remember the context in which Jesus reminded the disciples that love is the most important thing. The context is that this is the night that Jesus would be arrested, and the very next day he would be killed. He would nail to a cross. And the Gospel of John throughout wants us to know that Jesus knew exactly what was coming. Over and over and over again, the Gospel writer tells us that Jesus knows that his time has come. The Gospel writer wants us to know that Jesus is not naive. Jesus is going to be arrested. Jesus is going to suffer. Jesus is going to die. And Jesus knows all of this ahead of time, according to the writer of the Gospel of John. And knowing all this, Jesus' last words to the disciples is love anyway. No matter what they do, love anyway. When the worst happens, when the thing that we fear the most happens, love anyway. And this early community that received the letter of 1 John, they took these words to heart. They were persecuted. Some of them became martyrs. And even when they weren't, they were mocked and derided by the society around them. And in this context, the writer tells them, love casts out fear. You see, it's not that they weren't worried or scared about what was happening to them or what might happen, but rather they were not going to let the things that they feared, the people that they feared, make them turn away from acting out of a place of love. They were going to love anyway. And what does that mean? It means that they refused to dehumanize those that they feared. It meant that they were going to put an end to the cycle of fear as a justification to harming others, as a justification to see them as anything less than the image of God. I think that's what the writer means when he says we let love cast out fear. I think that's what Jesus lived by when he forgave those who killed him. That's what the early Christians did when they prayed for all who persecuted them. And I think that is the invitation for each of us. All of us that still claim the name of Christ as our Lord, as our teacher, as our Savior. It's not that things aren't scary, but rather it is that we choose to love anyway. Now, over across town at First Congregational, we have a small group that's called the Midlife Men's Meetup. It's a place for men who are in the middle part of life, you know, middle age, to get together and just kind of share what's going on, to share joys, to share struggles, and to just support each other in the midst of all of that. And earlier this week, we had a meeting, and I mentioned at that meeting that, you know, it's hard because it feels like we are living through one generational crisis after another almost all the time. It feels like time is almost compressed, where we're living through so many scary things all at once. And there was someone in the group, someone who, well, is a little deeper into midlife than I am, who reminded me that, well, yeah, but it's also kind of always been like that. That more often than not, the world has often felt like it was teetering. The future has often seemed uncertain, and fear has often been knocking at the door. It was an important reminder to me. A reminder that while the specifics of all that is happening right now in the world might be unique, the sense of things not being okay is not unique. It's kind of how it's always been. Whether we're talking about right now or a generation ago or 2,000 years ago when the Gospels were written, or any time in between, there has always been stuff in the world that is scary. Always been stuff in the world that is hard and painful. But here's the good news. There have also always been people who have looked at the state of the world. With everything in it that is scary, with everything that is uncertain, there have been people who have looked at all of that and who have decided to lean into love anyway. In 1955, in Mississippi, one of the most horrific acts of racial terrorism in our country happened when Emmett Till was brutally murdered, his body maimed beyond recognition. Now, Emmett Till's mother, Mamie Mobley, chose to leave his casket open because she wanted the world to see what had been done to her son. She wanted to expose the evil of racism for all to see. But what was amazing is that she was able to expose that evil without letting that evil consume her. Around that time, she was asked by a reporter if she harbored hatred against the two white men who brutally murdered her son. And this is what she said. "It certainly would be unnatural not to hate them. Yet I have to say that I'm unnatural. The Lord gave me a shield. I don't know how to describe it myself. I did not wish them dead. I did not wish them in jail. If I had to, I could take their four little children, they each had two, and I could raise those children as if they were my own, and I could have loved them." Friends, living out of love doesn't protect us from the things we fear, but it does protect us from letting the fear consume and overwhelm us. So hear once again the words of the writer of 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. May it be so. Amen.